This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. We're really very proud to be taping today's episode at the offices of Rader Solutions. Located in the Light Center in Lafayette, Louisiana, Rader offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for your business. For more information, please visit RaderSolutions.com. Today's guest is Ellen McLemore, Executive Director of Chorale des Amis. Ellen is a graduate of Wesleyan College in Macon, Georgia. She's had a successful private piano studio, has taught music in elementary, middle, and high schools, and she's well known locally for her leadership with the Lafayette High School Piano Department. She's also served as pianist and children's choir director for multiple churches. As piano instructor at Lafayette High School for the Lafayette Parish Performing Arts Academy, under Ellen's tutorship, the piano department grew from students playing the piano during class to an entire musical program, complete with community performances, recitals, and competitions. The students traveled all over the U.S. learning skills such as how to produce shows. And I know they had a great time with you, Ellen. Thank you so much for joining me today on Discover Lafayette.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We met through Asbury United Methodist Church. I want to get that in because when I was asking you about how to pronounce Wesleyan, which is based on the name John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, I got the connection. I didn't realize you had been Methodist your whole life. And we met there, I guess, in the last couple of years.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
We did. We both attend Asbury, and I came from Wesleyan College, which is the oldest women's college in the world here in Macon, there in Macon, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got my degree in music education. And then when we came out here, we attended Asbury. And I have to say, Asbury, as other Methodist churches around town, are so generous. And Asbury especially has been generous to us when we were in piano, doing piano recitals, and now with Chorale des Amis there.
Right, yeah. We've got a great church. It's located right in the middle of Lafayette. I guess everybody knows where La Fonda is, and we're
right
next door. But we do have a rich music culture at our church, and I think my husband John and you met in particular handling the youth trips that Asbury takes, and and that's how we got to know each other better. You approached me at church one day and told me about this new endeavor, Chorale des Amis, which is a children's choir for our community. It's open to the whole community. So today's show, if we may, I just want you to talk about why this is important, you know, what a children's choir brings to our community, and some upcoming events and things that you have going on to drive membership and to include all children that are interested in this. So let's jump with when did you start Chorale des Amis?
Well, we are just blowing out our birthday candle. We turned a year old in March of this year. We started in March 20th, I think, 2017. We got our nonprofit status, and we hit social media really hard and talked to our friends and colleagues around town that are music teachers, choir teachers, and private and public schools, and they helped us out and sent us students. I have to say, social media has been awesome because that's how we got so many of them. So we started the year out with 43 students in two choirs.
What ages are the
second through 12th grade? And so we divided them so that they were age appropriate. And we have a teacher that teaches the younger ones, Rusty Roden, who is with Episcopal School of Acadiana. And we have been just having a great time with them. But we've grown too. We just kept things going and kept our social media up, and we've grown to 60, right under 60 kids from second through 12th grade. And then we added a third choir. So I'm directing the middle school treble girls.
What is that? Treble.
Treble would be treble voices, and they're girls. And we put the boys in the older group so that the boys can all be together, because sometimes they're more comfortable with boys, even though they have a different voice. So the boys with unchanged voices will sing the girls' lower part, the alto line.
Now, I didn't grow up singing or in a choir, and I don't know much about what a children's choir, you know, who would want to be in it. I don't mean that in a derogative way, but is this in addition to what children would do at school? How does this work, Ellen? Can you explain the structure of how the kids meet, practice, where do they come from, public, private schools? Kind of explain how this goes about.
So we have students, like I said, just almost 60 students from 18 schools and 5 different school settings, public, private, charter, Montessori, and homeschool.
Okay.
It's an awesome mix. And that was our vision, that we wanted to bring together these students who all over Acadiana, and like you said, we have such a rich culture in this town and in this area of the country, to gather to be a kind of a gem in the crown of this area. And we know that singing promotes academic work. The studies have shown that the skills that students receive from singing and from studying, focusing, and learning, the discipline of learning, follows them into their academic world. We want lifelong singers. We want our churches to have choir members that are not aging out, but love to sing.
Growing, with it. Yeah.
And so we have students from Sacred Heart. We have students from New Iberia. We have Southside doesn't have a choir yet. They're still growing. It's a wonderful school, but they're still growing. And so this gives them the outlet. Some of the students that had to leave Lafayette High and go to Southside because of rezoning, they still have a choir.
That's great.
And so, yes.
Yeah, so it's a privately structured choir, obviously. You've set up this 501c3, and I guess it's called Chorale des Amis. What's involved for a parent who wants to find out more information? Like, where do they go to even find out if their child is a good fit?
We always encourage them to come visit. We are not looking for the money so much that they can't come to one or two rehearsals.
Right. See if they like it.
Yes, we definitely want them to come and see that it's a good fit, because we meet weekly. And meeting weekly is a lot more difficult learning music on a weekly basis than a daily basis. So we want that commitment there too. But they can come. We practice at St. Mary's Church.
Beautiful.
And
that
is a wonderful facility. And they have been so, so generous to help us with that. So we meet there on Mondays, and the little ones practice from 4 to 5, and then we practice from 6 to 7:30.
Right.
And they are welcome to come visit us. We have a website, and they can go to our website to see more, get more information, to get any contact. There's a way for them to send us a little note or a message, and I always call back.
And what is that website, Ellen?
It's choraledesamis.com.
And would you spell that, please?
CHORALEDESAMIS.
.com. Okay. I looked at your new website. It's really well done. And I know you're not doing this by yourself. Would you talk about the people involved that helped you launch Chorale des Amis?
Yes. And I really owe all of that to Holly Greffy, my colleague. She and I taught together at Lafayette High. She's been there for 20 years and garnered, I think she's at 184 trophies and awards. And these are not given lightly. These are awards because those students have sung so well and can sight read. And she has developed a program that started with, if you can believe this, 30 kids her first year. Then she lost most of them the second year. And then she built it up to, at one point, there were 300 kids in that choir. And so this year she's got about 200 and something, 250 or so. But she's the one that started thinking about us needing to have a community choir. And then she started talking to me about it, and we synergize so well together anyway.
That's great,
we've always worked together well with the piano and the choir. So this was just kind of an easy step for us. So she's the artistic director, and she oversees what the choirs will sing and the concerts that we give. And then I also direct a choir, and but I kind of oversee the executive director part of it.
Right, right. I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor and producer of today's show, Raider Solutions, a technology company which creates and maintains technical strategies for businesses, functioning as their complete IT department from networks, phones, hosting of servers, and a service-oriented help desk. Raider offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. You were mentioning that Southside High doesn't have a choir because they just opened. I don't know much about the current state of funding in our public schools, but I know with all the budget cuts that the arts can be really cut to the bone because, you know, the school systems are trying to do what they can with the resources they have. Is that one of the motivating factors behind this? Can you talk about what's available in the Acadiana area in our schools? Because I want you to be plugging what you're doing with Chorale des Amis, and I also want to raise awareness for how important the arts are, whether it's singing or drawing or whatever. Would you talk about that? What is the current state of arts in our public schools?
Lafayette Parish has some wonderfully talented students. We have, and teachers, they work hard. And the problem is all the testing that comes down from the state. And so many hours and minutes have to be devoted to teaching what is going to ultimately be tested upon. And since the arts are not tested, that's the quote-unquote obvious choice, mm-hmm. in, you know, where you have to cut minutes. And I know they don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. It just seems to be the problem. And then the other thing is that AP classes, advanced placement, have become such an important part of college entrance requirements almost, mm-hmm. that students have to take those rather than an arts class. And though they are immensely talented and they want to be in an arts class, mm-hmm. whether it's art or band or dance or whatever,
theater,
they can't be because they have to take these classes to be competitive.
To get into college.
To college.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of the first things to go then.
It's one of the first things that the students have, mm-hmm. to drop. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the numbers are low, and so it just kind of one of those spirals.
Right.
But I will say LPSS has really mm-hmm. tried to keep it going. But the community choir is a great asset to Lafayette Parish because we're able to give those students the experience that they might have to have dropped out of in, mm-hmm. school.
Well, just the composure that you get by turning around and facing an audience.
Oh,
much less,
yes.
performing.
They gain a lot of confidence.
Learning so many skills.
Yes, a lot of skills. And they are able to do these things and be stronger singers for the program that they might already be in.
Mm-hmm.
Some private schools don't have choirs at all. And
I
so
see.
This gives them that outlet.
Right.
Homeschool students don't,
right.
have that.
One of my early guests on Discover Lafayette was Lauren Baker, mm-hmm. the violinist. And I didn't realize that they start teaching Suzuki at 2 years old. They just take a box and have them, you know, I don't even know what they're doing. But she did explain to me in the similar way that you did that singing, playing an instrument, whatever, it really helps the brain get in gear for learning things such as math and science.
Absolutely.
It's the discipline is invaluable for these young students, young people. And I guess you see that. The singing must do the same thing.
Absolutely. And what's so frustrating is that the people that are handing down these mandates with testing and, mm-hmm. math and science and all, which are important, but they don't see how it's interwoven with the arts. And for a student to sit at a piano, for instance, and have to work through something on their own until they get it, or just sitting there for 30 minutes or 20 minutes and working on something, gives them so many skills that they can apply to learning math and science and all that. Yeah, it's just a great, all works together so well.
Mm-hmm. So you grew up playing the piano, I take it. Did you have dreams of being a performer? Can you talk about that, young Ellen? When you were coming up, I'll put you on the spot.
Did. Yes. Well, I was not a dreamer. I did not dream of being a performer. I wanted to be a teacher. My mom was a teacher, and she started paying for piano lessons. We didn't even have a piano, so I would go in her class. She taught a little private school, and I would go in her class and practice in the mornings on an old upright, and then she bought me one and all. But I took piano, but I also was in choir all the way through. And in fact, she was an administrator in the public school system, and I wanted to go to this private school. And my mother said, well, how in the world is it going to look for me to have my child in a private school when I am in the public school system? So the private school said, well, if you'll be our pianist, we will. That'll be your.
They'll cover the tuition.
That will be the tuition.
That is incredible.
And so, from 8th grade to 12th grade, I was the pianist for the choirs, and I learned so much. And my piano teacher was my choir teacher, and she was a mentor for me. And still to this day,
That's cool. Great.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up in Florida, you said.
I grew up in Florida until I went to college.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then you moved to Macon, and again, it was a Methodist college, Wesleyan college, and you studied music ed.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So you took it was almost like a double major, because you had to have all the music classes plus everything for an education major. And the whole time I played the piano at a church down the road, and I continued that, and I had a private studio. And then I started teaching. When I got my degree, I started teaching in the schools in Macon.
Right. So it's obvious you enjoy it. Whenever we meet and talk about Chorale des Amis, I mean, your face lights up. So I know you enjoy working with these students and using your talent, your God-given talent. So,
being around students has always been fun for me, and I learn from them. And they are so much fun, and I love giving them the opportunities. There is so many times when they have never seen something that you and I take for granted, and the light comes on when they've learned something. It's just a wonderful experience being around students.
Right. Are you going to be traveling soon, or do y'all have something planned, a trip
for a Chorale? Perfect question to ask me. Well, before we even started, and I'll go back and say that networking is so important. It is so important to meet people and get out of your comfort zone and out of your area. So we have a lot of friends around the state and around the country. Holly and I both do, and more Holly than me. I want to give her the credit. And she has taken her students to Carnegie Hall prior to this. And because of that, because of her ability and what they've seen, they invited us, without ever hearing our choir, to bring our students to Carnegie Hall. And we have 21 students going to New York in June 8th through the 12th.
2018, yeah. Mm-hmm. With their families, or are families attending?
Yes,
or,
and the families are coming. We have a total of 56 people traveling with us. And it's so funny, because it's not just the parents, it's grandparents from Ohio and
wonderful.
Dallas and then cousins. There are a couple of cousins that are coming and making it a family trip. But we are so excited about the opportunity. In the choral world, Z. Randall Stroop is the most prestigious name to hear, and that's who we're singing under.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it is really wonderful, and the students just are doing a great job learning the music, and when they get under him and they see his magic, they're just going to they have memories for a lifetime.
What ages are going? What age students are you taking?
Sixth grade could go if their parents went, and then 7th through 12th. So 6th through 12th.
Is this your first time to go to Carnegie Hall, or have you been?
This is my first time to go to Carnegie Hall, yes.
So exciting.
It is so exciting. And so we'll fly in, and we're going to go see Aladdin on Broadway. And then I found a workshop. It's a Broadway audition workshop that they'll be able to go to and learn some music and choreography. And then, we'll see the sites, 9/11 mm-hmm. and all yeah. those
yeah.
things.
In yeah. Central Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're going to Central Park. Yes.
Get a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yes.
So I'm sure when the students that are going, when their friends hear about this, it's going to drive your membership. I mean, this is, I know you're doing it to expand their horizons, but what a perk of being a
right.
member of Chorale des Amis.
Right. Well, we are able to do this for them. And also we were invited to sing with the symphony this past Christmas. Mm-hmm. And that was
big.
Huge. And it was, we called it our carrot that we would mm-hmm. dangle. Because the students want to be able to do something. They
right.
don't want to just sit in rehearsals. They want to get out and do something. So traveling is huge.
Right.
We took them to Mississippi. They were they got to go to Mississippi State, which is a really strong music school. And they went for the weekend. And so anyway, just that short little trip
right.
was so much fun.
Right.
I've always said you could just get a bus of kids and go to Ville Platte, mm-hmm. and they have fun.
Yeah, but New York City
but
might
New
be
York
a little
City,
bit better.
Yeah, so getting to go to New York and Stark, Mississippi and mm-hmm. all these things are just a lot of fun for us mm-hmm. to show them the big wide world.
Right.
So we're talking about what we're going to do next year.
Right. Well, how do you pay for all this? Tell me about... How does a nonprofit, you know, Chorale des Amis, what do you do to, I guess you have membership dues and then you also have fundraising efforts underway.
Yes. Holly handed me that job because uh-huh. that's, she has done a gazillion and I've done a gazillion and one, I think, fundraisers for our programs. And we've had to think outside the box. So cookie dough sales and candy sales,
yeah, that's been done.
Yeah, been done. And so we're always trying to think of things that haven't been done that people might be interested in. But we do have tuition, and the tuition covers music and covers accompanists when we have mm-hmm. accompanists for the concerts, and all the different things. We give them a T-shirt. And binders and pencils and all that kind of stuff. So we have those expenses. Then when we go on trips, we have fundraisers so that the parents get
yeah,
can
they don't
offset.
Have to pay it all.
Yes.
Right.
So we are having our first campaign,
yeah.
our first spring campaign. It's called So You Think You Can Sing.
And not many of us really can sing.
So, yeah, which makes it more fun. We really don't want yeah. them to sing. So we have... somehow we've managed to corral about 12 people mm-hmm. to agree to raise $1,200 or more.
And I think
us.
Chris Rader is one of those, right?
Chris Rader is
yeah.
at the top of the list.
I don't want to yes. hear him sing.
And he doesn't want to.
Is that the ones that raise the least have to sing? Is that
yes.
what the deal is? So
yes.
you really want to raise money. Huh?
So they yes, yeah. the one that raises the least amount mm-hmm. will have to sing a solo at our spring concert. So that will bring people into our spring concert.
I can just picture that.
Yes.
Or hear that in my mind, yeah.
But it's also the one that raises the most gets to choose whether they want to sing or whether they don't want to sing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have people like Ray Boudreaux, and I don't know if you know Ray, but he was number 8 on The Voice.
Oh my goodness.
Several years
so
back.
He's got it.
And he
yeah.
sings all over town, mm-hmm. and he sings out in Las Vegas too, but he's one of my favorite local singers. He's awesome. And his daughter is in our program.
Okay.
But he was so sweet. He just said, "Oh yeah, I'm in." And mm-hmm. I said, "Well, don't you want to hear what to do?" But anyway, so if he raises enough money, then he will choose.
He can choose to mm-hmm. sing.
And we'd
yeah.
be honored to
right.
have him sing. And Ben Roth, Dr. Roth, mm-hmm. he's an awesome singer. He auditioned for The Voice about 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And he is with Southern Urology,
mm-hmm.
but his favorite thing to do on the side is sing.
That's so great.
So yeah.
Tell me about the fundraiser. People raise money, and is there a big event? Like, what is the date, and how does this work for people that are interested in coming to attend?
Oh, I hope so. Well, we are hoping that people will go to our website and look at all the different mm-hmm. participants and vote for them. There is a way to pay online. And then on May 14th, which is our spring concert, they will get to hear
I see.
The winners of
okay.
those two, the winner and the loser.
Right, right, okay. So that sounds like fun. So what are there any other things associated with that? I know you've got other events that are coming up. So
yes, we have a cocktail party coming up for that to kick that off, and that's going to be at City Club, and we're hoping that that it will be well attended, so that people will get to hear mm-hmm. our singers. But you know what? We're also going to have some of our students sing
good.
And perform. Yeah. And they can tell you themselves what music has done for them and choir has done for them. Chris's daughter.
Chris Rader.
Chris yeah. Rader's oldest daughter is in our program, mm-hmm. and she has decided to major in music. And I think this was kind of, she was going back and forth with several things. And we like to think that her love of music and this extra mm-hmm. time with us this year has kind of tipped her.
That's great.
To doing that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I have a question, if this isn't, it may be too personal, but I'm asking this from my heart, because I see myself doing these same things, Ellen. You give so much time to this cause. You're living it, you're sleeping it, dreaming it, you know, getting up first thing in the morning, thinking about it, going to bed, thinking about it. What motivates you to do this? Is
great
that too,
question. No,
you know
great
what I'm saying?
Question.
You're driven to do this, and it's a very worthy cause. It's worth every moment you spend. But this is, it's a passion that you have.
It is a passion. I love to see students involved. We talk so much about the teenagers not doing things and not being active. Well, there are so many more that are. Mm-hmm. And they just need an outlet, and they need someone to lead them. And this is what drives me. I just love when these kids have a passion, and then I can kind of help them mm-hmm. find their way, I guess, mm-hmm. and give them an outlet. So I love that. I love having our own business. Holly and I can work yeah. together and have our own business and decide how we do things and how the media and the social media that we use mm-hmm. and that it, to me is fun, and I'm learning a lot
right.
this year. But just the students and being with the children. I did quit my job after 7 years at Lafayette High. Hated to do that.
Right.
But this was really just something that I
it's
felt
burning.
Yes,
burning
and I thought that we could see it grow. Mm-hmm. We have some wonderful mentors in Mississippi, and they started about 5 or 6 years ago. They have been so helpful to us and encouraging, and so that when they came alongside us, that gave us
right.
me even more courage to
right.
step out.
I think it's important for the kids to have mentors like you that aren't their direct teacher or mm-hmm. parent. I know when I was young, I just didn't think well of myself. I didn't have a high opinion of myself. And one teacher looked at me, Mrs. Claiborne, and she just said the kindest thing to me. And it, you know, that you're okay. You know, mm-hmm. high school sometimes mm-hmm. can be tough, but just you're going to be fine.
Yes.
And coming from her, it meant the world to me. And I think that I see that same love in your eyes for your students mm-hmm. because they do need to be validated and have their talents mm-hmm. Nurtured.
Yes.
And you're giving them that, you and Holly. And I know other volunteers
yes.
that help you.
They are so helpful. Yes,
yeah.
Our parents are great. So uh-huh. helpful. And there is nothing better to me than going in to see those 6th, 7th, and 8th mm-hmm. grade girls. And we sing, we work hard, but we also play games. And we'll do some singing games. Or sometimes it doesn't have a thing to do with music, but it's just getting them to talk out
yeah.
loud or to feel comfortable. Such an awkward age sometimes.
That really is a transitional time.
And
yeah.
so we get in a circle and we hold hands, or I just putting their arm around my arm around one of them mm-hmm. when they walk in, and they just light up, and
right.
it makes my day.
Right, right. Ellen, it'd be nice if we could hear the choir sing. Do you have anything that Chorale des Amis has sung recently?
I do. I brought the national anthem. The students were honored to sing for the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure at Sugar Mill Pond this past February. We were asked, and they did a great job. Very proud to be able to do that for them.
Yeah, well, great. Let's hear it. Thank you.
stripes and bright souls, through the perilous fights, on the ramparts we lost, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that the flag was still there.
Jason, before we sign off, do you have any questions for us of Ellen?
I do. And of course, you ended up answering them after I wrote them down. So my first question was, do you still teach? And you answered that. So I'll follow up with, do you miss teaching?
I do miss teaching. I miss my friends and colleagues that I taught with. So because I'm working by myself now during the day. But the great thing is Monday is not as bad as it used to be, because that's the day I get to see the students.
Excellent. You touched on this a bit, you know, what the idea of having a community choir, but was there a spark, or was this something that just kind of developed?
That's a good question. There was a community children's choir here.
Oh, okay.
About maybe 10 years ago, Norma Jean Lucky, and I want to give her credit because I think she did a really good job. She was the director, and I think it was through UL. Now, I've only been here 9 years, and so I don't know all of that, but I think that she was doing a great job, and it probably just got to be a lot, and she decided to move on to something else. And so we knew that there was one, and that it was a huge draw. There were a lot. And then, like I said, our mentors that we met doing music workshops and things like that had started talking about what a great addition to a community it is for a community choir. And it draws from so many, and not just our public school.
Right.
Nice.
And I do want to say, Jason is in the music business. I mean, he is, he's here, a transplant from L.A.,
Yeah, I went to school, Musicians Institute, and
really?
I got my degree in commercial music, majoring in guitar, and then I was a guitar tech, a roadie for 10 years.
Oh,
for
wow.
Big names, yeah. So he's big time. We're very lucky to be sitting right here.
Yeah, I worked for Goo Goo Dolls for 5 years. I did the 2004 Britney Spears tour. And worked for dozens of other artists over the years.
Cool.
Yeah. See this big smile on my face.
My big smile. Oh, my goodness. Well,
we're not going to give her your phone number, though.
Run. Yes. Overrun.
So I'm a transplant from outside of Lafayette to Lafayette. You are, too. What brought you to Lafayette?
My husband took a job with Mid-South Bank. The east side of the country really took a hit when the economy turned. 2007, 2008, 2009, and we were very, very fortunate that he was called and that he took this job. And it didn't seem that Lafayette had the problem that the rest of the country had on that side of the country.
Not at that time.
Right. Yeah. Now the oil is something different, but the economy didn't hit it here so hard. And so we're very fortunate, and it was hard for me at first. I'll have to be honest with you, because my kids were older, and so it was hard to get involved in things. And I wasn't going to go teach. I was going to be a stay-at-home mom, go back to being a stay-at-home mom when I moved out here, and I was climbing the walls. And so what happened was I put in an email to Lafayette High. It was the only school I knew about. And I said, this is what I do, and if I could help you in any way. Now, this was going to Holly Greffey, so this is kind of before she and I ever knew each other. And I never got anything back. It took her 2 weeks. They were so busy. I had called it, emailed it a busy time. And I thought, they must think that this is some crazy person trying to get into the school. And then they called me, and they said, oh, come on. And she just welcomed me with open arms. And she's a transplant, too. She's been here 24 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. From Minnesota, okay. She is Cajun through and through. But she just welcomed me, and that was the turning point. Mm-hmm. And then she insisted that I apply for this job that was the teacher for the piano lab was retiring that year. It just all
that
fell into
out
place.
Well. Yes. That was a God thing.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So your husband Jim McLemore is head of the Mid-South. He's head of the market. Is that
he's the president and CEO of Mid-South Bank?
Yeah. So. Excellent. Love brought her here, Jason.
Yeah. Well, thanks for letting me do those follow-ups. I appreciate it.
Thank you for everything you're doing for our community. Very, very excited to see what's on the horizon for Chorale des Amis. I think you're offering, you and Holly are both offering quite a new addition that's going to make a difference in Acadiana. So thank you for appearing today on Discover Lafayette. And I'd also like to thank Raiders Solutions and Jason Sikora, who's our production engineer. And it's always a pleasure, Jason, being here and being in these beautiful offices in Raiders Solutions. You guys have been so supportive of Discover Lafayette, and I know you support a lot of the arts and United Way and other nonprofits in the community. So thank you for being here today. And lastly, I'd like to thank our visitors and listeners of Discover Lafayette. You can hear this podcast and all of our podcasts on discoverlafayette.net. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and anywhere that you get your podcast. I want to ask you, please, when you listen, to rate, subscribe, rate, and review, because it helps us to keep this podcast going. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, I'm Jan Swift.